Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with everybody here on the Omega Radio Network. You're listening to The Watchman 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Omega Radio Network is broadcasting around the world. Last week, I shared with you that the numbers jumped exponentially, over 180%. In 1 week, we went from broadcasting to a number of 382, I think, to over 5,780. This internet radio ministry is taking its launch. It's moving forward and is broadcasting. And this is including not only the Watchman, but this is every single day, Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want to thank Kyle Bryant once again for his labor of love in keeping this radio station moving in the right direction. He keeps it up every single day. We come here and here we are again, and that's because Kyle is taking care of business. And if you are ever interested in supplying a need for his life to just bless him, make sure you sow into some PayPal. Let us know where it's going, because it takes a little bit to keep this up and running. And Kyle is laboring every day. He's laboring every day to make sure that this Omega Radio Network is up and running. He keeps putting all the programs in. He's making the uploads, the Dropbox. He's working very hard. It is a labor of love. He's asked for nothing. This is just, I think, unction by the Holy Spirit. So remember the Omega Radio Network with your gifts. Remember Pentecost was yesterday, and maybe you'd like to sow a Pentecost offering to the Omega Radio Network because of the ministry that God has raised up and all those individuals that are broadcasting their messages around the world. So praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, as one person once said. What do you think about this article? This is the growing acceptance of microchip implants. And the question is, would you get chipped? So the use of microchip implants has been a focal point for many science fiction movies and books over the past few decades. Whereas it used to be the stuff of science fiction in Hollywood, the technology has now become a reality for humans. One Wisconsin-based company, Three Square Market, has implanted 50 employee volunteers with a small microchip in each employee's hand. The microchip is about the size of a grain of rice. The implant would then give an employee the ability to work more efficiently by unlocking doors, logging into computers, and doing a number of other basic tasks by a simple wave of the hand. Three Square Market is a vending machine software company, is hoping that this technology takes off and becomes mainstream. The company believes that it could soon provide a range of benefits to the consumer, including the ability to use the chip as a form of identification, a way to purchase goods in a secure manner, and a simple way to access public transportation. In Sweden, people are abandoning the use of paper money for an increasing number of everyday transactions. In fact, the amount of hard cash in circulation has decreased by 40% in the last 7 years. Sweden is beginning to look at doing away with physical money in favor of a completely digital currency, which may include a microchip under the skin. Commuters in Sweden are an example of trading cash for convenience, as several hundred have already been chipped to be able to use the SJ Rail Transit system. The train conductor can then simply read the chip with a smartphone to confirm the passenger has paid for their journey. Another 3,000 have been chipped so that they can have easy access to secure areas of buildings. And, you know, that's just today's modern technology. And although there are advantages to microchip technology, opponents have pointed out a wide range of risks and concerns that come along with it. Number one, the infringement on privacy. One of the main concerns about implanting microchips is that it infringes on personal privacy. Even if a person should volunteer for the implant, there is a good chance that they are not fully considering the level of privacy that they are giving up. Furthermore, as in the case with the company in Wisconsin, there could be a certain level of peer or other pressure that may force someone to, quote unquote, volunteer for the implant. And then, of course, there's tracking. Along with giving up some level of personal privacy, those that have microchip implanted are also risking that they could be tracked. Over the past few years, it has become more and more clear how much of our information is being tracked by the major internet and social media companies. And I would just interject, how many of you know that on your smartphone, they'll tell you they have your track of motion. They know when you're going to go to the grocery store, how many minutes away it's going to take, what the traffic's like. They know your driving habits, if you have any. And so with that cell phone, it's already a tracking device. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. How many times have you just clicked OK when there's this, you know, 3-page and tiny little letters, you know, agreement thing, and you just click, I agree. Only God knows what everybody's been agreeing to for the last 20 years, right? Well, with microchips, depending on the chip's design and how it is programmed, a company could track even more of your daily life, including your location, how much time you spend sleeping, and what you spend your money on. It also remains to be seen how this accumulation of data could be used against you in the future. Yeah, the future is a very interesting place, is it not? There has already been proposals to use microchip implant tracking with criminals and immigration procedures. And while these past proposals might have failed, it is only a matter of time before they come up again. The next issue would be hacking. Another concern that many people have is that there will always be a risk of hacking into the microchips and databases. Although microchip implants are considered to be very secure and difficult to break into, hackers always seem to be a step ahead of security measures. If someone is able successfully to hack into your microchip account, they may be able to replicate your chip. In these situations, it would be incredibly easy for a hacker to easily steal your identity and make major purchases in your name. And then, of course, there's always the concern of Big Brother. The fourth concern about microchip technology is that it is just the first step towards a Big Brother society that is depicted in the book 1984. In the novel, all people in a fictional society are chipped and tracked on an ongoing basis, and there is an utter loss of freedom. Even though the current use of the microchips may seem extremely limited compared to the uses depicted in the novel, it clearly could be a first step in that terrifying direction. It is easy to see a few positive benefits to chipping. Animals have long been chipped as a means of inventory and disease control, to say nothing of recovering lost or stolen pets. Persons with compromised mental capacity, i.e. Alzheimer's, who wander off and get lost could greatly benefit from having a chip. Asserted, the microchipping of children will happen sooner rather than later due to parental safety concerns, and that Americans will eventually accept the process as something just as normal as the barcode. And it was said by an electronics expert, Stuart Lipoff. He told the network, it's not a matter of it if, but when. Isn't that the mantra we've heard forever and ever? Well, what about the preconditioning for the mark of the beast in Revelation? So the book of Revelation warns that during the tribulation, every person will be required to accept a mark, which will signify worship of a one world leader and be necessary for commerce. And I quote, the second beast required all people, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. So here is a call for wisdom. Let the one who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and that number is 666. Now, why would those that have insight be called to calculate the number? So that you don't take it, right? That we don't take it. What is that number? 666. It's the barcode of just about everything that is sold in the marketplace. We know that. Most Christians recognize that current chip implants are not the actual mark of the beast. Yet there is concern that acceptance of such technology is conditioning people for when the real one does come along. What often starts off as voluntary can just as easily become mandatory, and whereas tech itself may be neutral, in the hands of the wrong person, it could be extremely dangerous. Imagine the technology of today in the hands of Hitler. Christians have long debated the meaning of the mark of the beast. Our generation, however, appears to be the first to have the technology to fulfill this prophecy. Soon, you may have to answer the question, would you get chipped? Would you get chipped? And isn't it interesting that we grow up in a society and we see cash, coins, and we do business with it without ever even thinking, without ever even asking, is it okay to use cash? And then the subtle introduction of the credit card. It was the greatest revolution. Everybody got it. And the nation went into debt, right? And we're $22 trillion in debt. And how much of that is credit card debt? Because the greatest consumer nation on the face of the earth, America, has used their credit cards to buy everything that their hearts desired, right? And because of this massive debt, and you know that he who is the borrower is slave to the lender. And so we looked at the credit card. We never considered that the credit card would be any kind of a mark. It was just a better way to buy and do the things that we love to do. But then they added that chip to the credit card. And now you go to the store, you put your credit card in, there's a chip, it reads, the computers read all the information, and then you walk out without a word spoken about anything. Nobody questioned it. Then we got these telephones. You know, they put the beast, this mark in the right hand or in the forehead. You know, you're always carrying that phone, most people, in their right hand. They put it up to their ear, in their head, to talk through it. And all the information, you can now take your phone, you could scan an item at the store. There's so much you could do with these phones. Most people that have them use maybe 10%, maybe. It's like the brain, right? We only use 18 to 22%, they say. Well, I would say in like manner, most people with a smartphone use maybe 18 to 22%, but the technology within those smartphones is way beyond anything that most people can even conceive or understand. So yes, artificial intelligence, technology, it's booming. It's a sign of the end times all around us. Frequencies in the atmosphere, radio waves, TV waves, computer waves, all kinds of waves of information floating through the proverbial atmosphere all around us, right? And we're just living within it. And it kind of has this ability to control and direct the emotions of the masses. Actually, there's an article about what Barack Obama had actually legalized. Let me just share this. We have Barack Obama to thank for legalizing propaganda, listen, and psychological operations aimed at influencing U.S. public opinion when he passed an amendment to the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 in his NDAA for fiscal year 2013. This now allows the State Department, i.e. the CIA, to go beyond manipulating mainstream media outlets and directly disseminating campaigns of misinformation to the U.S. public, such as the Mueller investigation. Wow. So what we might not have counted on was how incredibly sleazy these people are who the CIA digs up to work for them. Yeah, there's a problem. And the problem is that there has been a psychological, which they call the psyops, of mind control against the masses. And you know it's true. You can't tell me that the dumbing down of society is just because men's hearts want to be at peace. No. Did you know that they have some technology today that they could take a radicalized Islamic fundamentalist terrorist who is shouting, loo, 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 and Allah and all these things, right? And they have this fervor. They could actually direct this psyop towards that individual and literally calm their heart down and steal their fervor and take away the idea of terrorism out of them. These are waves, radio waves, harp, call it whatever you want to, but the minds of the masses are under control. You wonder, are you protected? Am I protected? I know the only hope that we have as Christians is to put on the full armor of God. And I know that that helmet of salvation is the mind of Christ to protect our minds and to know the truth. See, I believe the devil who deceives the whole world is actively, moment to moment of every existing time we have, laboring to bring that great deception to the minds of the world. And he's going to do it. The Bible says, the devil who deceived the whole world. Now, you and I, the Bible tells us, even the very elect can be deceived. That means we have got to keep ourselves in the truth. And I, for one, want to thank God for the Holy Spirit of truth. And I want to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to thank God for the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures, of truth. So the Scriptures, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, this is truth. And if you and I will narrow-mindedly walk the narrow path of the Scriptures, of Jesus being the only way of salvation and the Holy Spirit of God imparting truth to us, I believe we'll have an opportune chance to escape the snare that is coming all over the world. And I wonder how it is so easy for men and women of God to forget these incredible words of the Lord Jesus when he said in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What day is he talking about? The day that the sea and the waves are roaring, men's hearts are failing them for fear of for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, where the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Wow. A day of gloom, a day of doom is coming upon the nations of the earth. And it is amazing that the masses are being caught into a snare. They're not going to be able to escape because they've been lied to. They've been deceived even by their preachers on the corner saying peace and safety. They're allowing propaganda to be their guide. They're allowing the news media to be their guide. They're allowing the rhetoric to be their guide rather than what the Word of God says and what the Holy Spirit says. And so we trust this deceptive mouthpiece of the devil in the news media. If the news media people smile and they're all happy and they go outside and cook a barbecue, then everything must be okay. But as soon as you turn around, there's 10 people getting shot in Santa Fe, Texas, or some massive volcano that's blowing, hurricanes that are shaking parts of the country and around the world, or wildfires, or 26 people getting shot in a Baptist church, or 58 people shot in Las Vegas, Nevada, and wars going on and rumors of wars going on. on, and the price of oil beginning to rise, the price of food beginning to rise, and economic frustration everywhere. I mean, but you see, the people are led by, you know, the news media. They're led by the propaganda, by the radio frequency waves in the atmosphere. Listen, if you want to be happy, if you want to be full of life, if you want joy, if you want peace, it's found in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you go into him, he gives you the Holy Spirit to be the guide of your life, so that you are not misled, so that you are not deceived, so that you are not going to walk in darkness like the rest of the world. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead you out of those places where the snare is coming. He's going to lead you out of the inner cities. He's going to lead you out of the disaster zones. He's going to bring you to a place that God has prepared and is continuing to prepare. In fact, we have, I'm going to lay this on the line right now. I believe what God is saying for the men and women of faith, that there are 4 months of harvest in the midst of gloom and doom. I know you're tired of hearing it and desire a new sound, and there is a new sound, the song of the Lord and the sound of heaven being heard in the spirits of those who have been truly born again. That's that joy, that happiness, that peace, that love song, that beautiful song of the Lord, the sound of heaven, it is in the spirit of those who are born again. However, the sound of destruction and a great fall are being heard, as well as a great falling away for the many who are going to be snared by the great trap ready to spring all over the world. And dear friends, unfortunately, many Christians are going to get caught in the same trap. The Christians, an overwhelming number of Christians, are going to get caught in the trap and go into the greatest tribulation that ever hit the face of the earth. And only those, even the very elect who just allowed and kept themselves above, are going to narrowly escape. For if the righteous scarcely or barely escape, it says in Peter, what will become of them who disobey the gospel or have rejected the knowledge of Jesus Christ or have lived unrighteously? And there be many Christians. You know it, I know it, without being critical or self-righteous. There are many Christians in this world that are not walking the walk. They're not walking what they talk. They're not following the commandments and the instructions of the great physician. Therefore, they're never healed. And so what happens, the Bible says in Revelation 7 that an untold multitude of God's kids are going into the great tribulation, where they're going to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. They're going to come out having been cleaned up, because that's the purpose of the great tribulation. So it is here. It is real. And the fact of the matter is, we have all been warned and admonished. Prepare for living like the 1800s. I'm telling you, this isn't just out of the Congress. This isn't just out of the think tanks in Washington, D.C., or the EMP Commission. This is by the Holy Spirit has been saying these things as well. We have been warned. We have been admonished. You need to prepare for living your life like in the 1800s, which means no electricity, no freely running water, no freely flushing toilets, no ATMs, no grocery store on the corner. And I can only hope we are ready to flee into the wilderness, that special place God has led you to, where divine provision will be available to those who prepared and made it out. You know, God is always God. I don't believe the Bible is a big, you know, fantasy story. I believe when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness, and God was there, and there was nothing for them. No grocery stores, no ATMs, no hospitals, no doctor's offices, no dentists. There were no, you know, there was nothing, nothing but God. And God gives us a report that not one person lost their shoes. I mean, God took care of them. They lacked nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, the experts are telling us that 1 year minimum for the lightest EMP strike against our grid. That's how vulnerable it is. And that, unfortunately, we, unlike the people living in the 1800s, have no skills to survive, because we've become so dependent on the system. You know what a drug dealer does? You know why there's so many people strung out on heroin and cocaine and all this stuff? A drug dealer will always give you the first fix free. Did you know that? Yeah, the first hit, the first taking of drugs is always free. I mean, they'll give it to you, and they'll give you the good stuff. Because once you take the good stuff for free, the hook has been laid. The hook has been laid. Now it's the reeling in until the addiction is formed. And now you, the drug dealer, owns that person because they keep coming back and they keep coming back and they're looking for that first high, that good stuff, what was free. But now they got to give some money, $25 here, $50 here, $100 there. And now they're buying and buying. But the quality of the dealer just never gets that good stuff anymore. And so there's more needed to try to get there. And before you know it, you have a person who has lost their soul to drugs, and you have a person that has become bound and addicted and imprisoned in bondage, and they live a lifestyle of crime and all kinds of crazy stuff. They lose what they have. It's the timeless story. The devil has done the same thing in this world. He has created an environment where the nations are dependent upon the systems that their hands have created. This is Babylon. The citizens of Babylon are dependent upon the systems of Babylon, and the masters of the systems of Babylon have ensnared the people by giving them the freebies, getting them used to good life, and then causing a little bit more. So now that the citizens are the slaves of the masters of Babylon systems, now all Babylon has to do is to take total control, is to break the systems. And what would happen? Babylon could cleanse its citizenry and reduce the population, because the EMP Commission tells us that after 1 year, multiplied millions, just in America, multiplied millions of Americans would die. You can imagine around other parts of the world. I think the African community would probably do better than us in some ways, because they don't have a lot of the bennies we have. I've been to Africa. I know what it's like there. They don't have what we have. They live off the land. But what would happen? So there is a snare coming. When it's going to come, only God knows. Only God knows. But God does foretell, and God does warn the people that have an ear to hear to be watchful, to be alert, because all these things will happen suddenly and at a time when people least expect it. It is normally when in the PSYOP, you know, thing that's happening over the nations of the earth, where man's mind is being controlled by propaganda, news media, agendas of the masters, so to speak. And, you know, the willing masses, they love freebies, man. Throw us out some candy. We'll take it, right? And so where does that put us? Where does that put us? It puts us in a wonderful place if we're born again. Because these are all the signs of the end times. And again, people are tired of hearing last days, end times, but I'm not. Everything in my spirit is hurrying it up. Why? Because we want bad things to happen? No, because we want Jesus to come. And the Bible has given us a real genuine outline that there are things that have to happen. I mean, even in the Islamic way of life, they know that in order for their Mahdi to come, the 12th Imam, that the world has to be set on fire. It has to be chaos. They know that things have to happen. Now, even though Jesus will come at a time when we don't expect it, he says that we're not to be caught off in darkness, or to be caught off like people where a thief comes and breaks in. We should have an awareness. And our awareness should come from the reality of Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And so as we look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times around the world, we Christians should be very excited and very preparatory and saying, you know what? These are the days that Jesus talked about. We may have to go out into the wilderness like the children of Israel did in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago when they fled to the wilderness in their generation, when the Ukrainians fled to the wilderness in their generation, when the Jews fled to the wilderness in their generation with Adolf Hitler. I mean, don't think for a second just because a prophecy was fulfilled 2,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago or 3,000 years ago, that that prophecy no longer has any meaning or value. No, God's word is eternal. And what God said to one generation, he will fulfill in another generation that acts like the generation that God spoke to. So if God raises up Jeremiah to speak to Israel because of his ways of neglect and blasphemy and turning away from God and living like heathen, and God speaks to them, and then you come to Christian America, a Judeo-Christian America, a Judeo-Christian America, where we know better and have the Torah and the gospel, and we grow up with churches and the word of God and the promises of God and a Christian heritage, and then we begin to do what Israel did, well, God doesn't need to bring up a new prophet. He'll just send Jeremiah by those mouthpieces that will speak the message that God gave to Jeremiah, because it's the eternal word of God. It's the eternal word of God. And yet we've got people coming up saying peace and safety, everything's going to be okay, to a nation and a generation that are committing the same blasphemous sins, shedding innocent blood, promoting homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, pedophilia, corrupting the airwaves with pornography. I mean, greed, covetousness, pride, blasphemy at every turn. I mean, people eating babies' feces in Hollywood. Come on, man. This insanity that is happening in this sin-sick world of Satanism. And yet we hear preachers saying peace and safety. So the men and women of God that are saying repent, turn, confess your sin, turn your life over to Jesus, escape the snare that's coming on the earth, escape the wrath of God, escape the judgment that's coming. And the way to do that is to get into Jesus. And if God has sent you into the world to preach the gospel, to win as many as you can, know this. There are 4 months of harvest in the midst of gloom and doom. 4 months of harvest. Souls are waiting everywhere to get born again. And an acceleration of supernatural, miraculous working power is now available. I'm telling you, if you step out in faith and you go and start laying hands on people, being led by the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, now is the time. Not tomorrow, not at the end of time, waiting for something. It's in the Spirit right now. And even though we haven't seen tongues of fire, there is a supernatural reality and an unction that men and women of God are getting words of knowledge and prophecy for people they've never met before. And there are ability to lay hands on the sick. The miracles are there. Now, the miracle, miraculous, working power of God that we saw in Jesus Christ and the apostles is available to whosoever will at this hour step into that dynamic reality of God's glory and to be accelerated by the anointing of God to do the works that Jesus did. 4 months of harvest in the midst of gloom and doom. We're going to continue to see the school shootings. We're going to continue to see the news reports of all the stuff caving in. But our 4 months of harvest and gloom and doom along the way, you're going to see it every, you know, you're going to see it every week. Something's going to come up. But I don't know what happens at the end of 4 months, but that brings us to right around October. And we'll see around the Feast of Tabernacles what God has in store. But I do believe that we are coming into some rough moments. You better hold on, get your life preservers on. And get ready, because this ship called America is about to hit some stormy seas. And the masters of the ship are saying, oh, we have a south wind blowing softly. Everything's going to be all right. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 27, when Paul, as a prisoner, was on his way to Rome. And they put him on a ship and he warned everybody, don't go this way. Don't go this way, because I perceive there's going to be a lot of damage. And the shipmaster said, well, Paul, you just need to be quiet. We know how to run this ship. And we see a soft south wind blowing. So settle down, son. Get back into your prison gate. We'll handle it from here. They go out and they get hit with a northeasterly called Euroclydon. Euroclydon hits the ship. Paul gets, you know the story. No one lost their life because there was an apostle in their midst. Because an angel stood over Paul and said, not one soul will be lost, but you're going to lose this entire ship, but you're going to be cast on an island. I have a sense that there is going to be much damage to this ship called the United States of America, and where apostolic unction authority is operating, there will be salvation. There really will be something of God in the midst of all this. So you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid, and you don't need to give up on saying, you know, I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear the gloom. I don't want to hear the doom. Well, let me ask you a question. Would you have said that to Jesus in a world and a society where they're shedding innocent blood? And they're doing the very things that God and the prophets warned other nations about that we're doing exponentially, knowing that we're doing wrong. Would you not want to hear the judgment that is coming, the righteous judgment of God? How could you ignore it? How could you ignore when we promote a society like Sodom and Gomorrah and God judged Sodom and Gomorrah and you say, well, I don't want to hear God's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because your heart is tied to the world, because you're more interested in living your best life now and you want the good things of this world. And I've got news for you. There is a harvest for every born-again spirit, son and daughter of God. But I want you to know something. That harvest is a harvest of righteousness. It is a harvest of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a harvest of the divine power of God and the divine nature of God in your life, where you're going to become spiritually rich and wealthy in the kingdom of God to be activated to go and do what the kingdom does. And then along the way, you'll have your needs met, and I'll have my needs met. Praise the Lord. That's all we need is our needs met. That's all we need is our needs met. We're not advocating a harvest of materialism. We want more peace. We want more joy. We want more love in the midst of this so that we could be a light in the midst of the nations that are getting very, very dark. And so don't you dare ever say, oh, I'm tired of hearing gloom and doom. Can't you tell me something smoother? Can't you tell me something nicer? You beware. That's what they said to Isaiah. Tell us smooth things. Tell us things we want to hear. And they took Jeremiah and they threw him in a pit because they said, we don't want this voice of this man anymore. We don't want to hear his words of negativity. Every time he speaks, he says something negative. The only time Jeremiah didn't speak negative is when God revealed to him God's eternal purpose. And then you get into these chapters of like Jeremiah 29, 30, 31, 32. And it's all about the ultimate restoration of Israel and the restoration of the kingdom of heaven and the restoration that God would bring to the ends of the earth. And so he had a moment of opportunity to revel in the glory of God. But then immediately following, he goes right back into the immediate that right now that restoration is not taking place because you have sinned like crazy. And it's time for your sins to be visited with judgment. And God would use the Babylonians or the Assyrians, and he's going to use the nation of Islam today, Russia, China, whoever he needs to employ, he's going to employ to bring his righteous judgment on the United States of America, who has already been in judgment for years. For years, this country has been in judgment. Just think about everything that's happened in just the last 3 or 4 years. From police shootings in Dallas. I mean, just go down the list. You'll see this is not normal. And somebody says, well, this has always been. Well, some of it's always been. However, it is the acceleration of the birth pangs that is the witness that something's about to be birthed. And the acceleration of the birth pangs in the realm of judgment and crises is where we have to stop and say, wait a second. Yeah, this has happened before, but now it's happening 15 times compared to the one time it used to be. Now it's happening, not one or two hurricanes, but 6 hurricanes. You know, now we're seeing things happening like dominoes. Now things are happening accelerated. That means something. What does that mean to us? It means get ready. On your mark, get set, go. Because ladies and gentlemen, right now, the church, the ecclesia, you and I are being called to go and to win souls for the kingdom of God, because the time will come, I guarantee it, souls will no longer be saved. They will drown in the perdition of judgment that is coming upon the face of the earth. And I want you to know that those homeless people out there, those drug addicts, those drug dealers, those pimps, those prostitutes, those alcoholics, those people that are caught in the snare of pornography, these people that are broken, afraid, mentally being abused, I tell you, this is the time to wake them up by the power of God that dwells in you. Stop trying to go to church and keep trying to practice on the saints. No, the unction that is in you is for you to get out in that world and go and do the works that God called you to do. Well, I've had my 38 minutes this morning. I'd like to invite you to the broadcast. If you have any thoughts, comments, or questions about what we're talking about today, the number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326, and press 1 on your dial pad. Hey, do you want to get the mark of the beast? You know, some people said the mark of the beast was a chip. Others said the mark of the beast was the Islamic sword. I mean, there's evidence for both. Who knows what the mark of the beast is? But we're told, he who has understanding, let him calculate the number, for it is the number of a man, 666. Six. Islamic theology, that number 666 fits perfect with Allah. And so who is What is the mark of the beast? Where is society being led in these last days? We want to see the power of God in an end time demonstrative way, working through our lives. I mean, come on, saints, it's time that our minds are free of the entanglements of this world, that we have clarity and not confusion, that we are burning torches of light with lots of oil because we know the journey ahead is going to be dark. So we're working out our salvation. We're learning to forgive everybody. We're learning to forgive ourselves. We're walking in the integrity of the gospel. We're submitting to the word. And then if we fall, we go, doggone it, I didn't mean to fall. Lord, forgive me. And he forgives us. We get up, we get tested again, and we pass the test. And we're growing in God's economy of his divine intent for you and I. He loves us. God loves this world, folks. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But this world has turned ugly towards the Lord. And it is because of the demonic frenzy that is happening globally right now. It is because there are evil, wicked, demonic spirits that are influencing the heart and mind of man. And the restraint that once was in the heart of man is being taken away. And it's going to get to a society like the book of Judges, where every man did what was right in his own eyes. The days are coming upon this earth, ladies and gentlemen, that you're going to see things that you would eventually have, you know, hid your eyes from. But I'm telling you, the society is about to erupt with a broken band of unrestrained lust coming from the human nature of man, who was created on the sixth day, by the way. There's a number of a man, 666. Let's take our first call this morning, coming in right here at home, 858-864. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, and God bless you this morning.
How are you doing, lovely lady? My wife, Patricia.
Thank you, honey, and God bless you, and it's been a good program. And I just wanted to speak on behalf of the mark of the B666 as being an idea and concept of the Muslim mark of those that are terrorists. And thinking about it, I would have to disclose that the idea of the mark of the beast was to buy and sell. It had nothing to do, as it appears, with a sword. Now, I may be wrong about that, not looking deep enough, but I get the absolute impression that the buying and selling, the incapability of doing so, if you don't have the mark of the beast, that means even going to hospitals or wherever Social Security is involved or wherever your votes are involved or your license, all working together, including the bondage that the government has been putting on us through the phone. So all of that working together sounds as though it may apply to buying and selling and not to a sword. What do you think?
Well, I think that's very apropos. And I'll be honest with you, I calculate that number 666. And, I didn't do very good in math, actually, going through high school. I got as far as fractions, and that was it. So, you know, I need to lean towards others that are really studying this number 666. But Patricia, I think you and I could both agree that Adam and Mrs. Adam were created on the sixth day, and that maybe this mark of the beast, which is the number of a man, that man was created in the sixth day of creation, that maybe this mark of the beast is just the unrestrained human nature of mankind. And then, of course, yes, you get to the technology, you get to the information download. Maybe it's a combination of a number of things. But right now, you're absolutely right. It's plausible that this mark is for buying and selling. So I think you have a massive point, and I will concede that one to you.
Yes, as a beast system, though I did hear prior, and I always agreed with it, that 666, as you said, has the number of man, his spirit, and his soul. Number 7 is that which has been perfected. 6, the number of man. 6, the number of his spirit. 6, the number of his soul, is a man in bondage. So that can all work together as the mark of the beast in the UN system, in the systems of this world that are coming about very quickly with AI especially.
All right. So, Patricia, let's talk a little bit further about this because it's coming to my memory, and I think everybody's mature enough to handle this conversation. I want to give an idea of how powerful control could actually be. Here's a real time. Every man that's ever been in boot camp, every man that's ever been in military knows about this. Many, many years ago, when we were in boot camp, what they do to all these young men that are coming to join the military, whether it's the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, even Air Force, you know, you get involved. What they do, without telling you they're doing it, but it's known, is every meal that they feed you during those 8 weeks of boot camp has what is called saltpeter. And saltpeter was to prevent the young men from getting erections while they were going through boot camp. Now, this is just one idea of how manipulating man's attitude or his functions could take place. And now we're living in a day and age with the chemtrails, with the bio, you know, genetically modified foods, with the, you know, all of these different things that are being fed to the American people, like, you know, it's preparing them for slaughter, it just seems like, and around the world. But there's just such an invasion upon man and his molecular structure and his mind and his brain that, you know, there is a very powerful controlling force over people, and it has to be broken free of. And it reminds me of The Matrix, the movie The Matrix. And we all saw how, what's his name, Zio or whatever his name was, you know, he has to disconnect and unplug himself from all the wires and technology that had bound him in that world, you know, and to get set free. And there was a lot of symbology in that. And how are Christian men and women of God going to come out of her, my people? There is an admonition in the Bible to God's people to come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And then in Revelation 18, come out of her, lest you be a partaker of her sins and judgment. Your thoughts?
It is bondage. And bondage is the very reason Christ has come to set us free. There's nothing worse than bondage. It is Satan's delight. In the garden, Adam and Mrs. Adam were totally free to make their choices as they desire to do. Sadly enough, they made the wrong choice, and they received upon themselves the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, by partaking of it, eating of the apple, so to speak, which is very interesting what apple represents today. And that
yes.
is a computer system.
The
but
computer.
We must be free. That is the beauty of creation, to have his children, the ones that he created in the wombs of our mothers, be free and to be set free to make wise choices by the Spirit of God. Anything else that is not made by the choice through the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us will cause bondage in our life. And bondage is the work of Satan, as I said earlier, the most devastating power on earth through deception is bondage of spirit, mind, and body. It contradicts Amen. The work of God altogether. And that is why Jesus Christ came to set us free. Praise be to his name forever. May we receive him as our Savior from bondage.
Amen to that. And I know you're going to be sharing that on your broadcast. We have another call coming in, but I also wanted to talk about the new swearing in of CIA Director Gina Haspel. I think for the first time in the history of the CIA, a woman is taking the head lead there. But let's take our first call. First of all, our second call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the airwaves. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Yes.
Hi, Kathy.
Yep. Like the information that's being brought out. And I had a phone call this weekend from an invitation from one of their reservations. And I've been just waiting for the Lord to bring this about. And I believe something, like you said, the harvest is now. And so God is opening doors. And, you know, the laborers, they are really few, like the Bible says. And there's a massive amount of people out there that really need the truth. And I believe that God has raised up this army, and they are going to start marching very soon.
Amen. Amen. I hear the cry. I hear the cry of the Holy Spirit. Well said. Well said. It is the truth. And every opportunity granted to God's children, wherever we go, we need to be on assignment, and we need to know that it has begun. You're not waiting. It's kind of like being at the starting line of a race, and they say, on your mark, get set, and you don't hear them say go, so you're still sitting there. Everybody else is running. Well, God has said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature under heaven, and lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. You know, do the work that Jesus did. We are now in the go. So whenever God opens a door of opportunity, whether you're at the grocery store, you get called to conference, go. And go in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to do the works that Jesus has called each and every one of us to do. I want to thank you so much for that phone call. Kathy, Patricia, both of you, any other comments before we move forward?
Yes, I would like to make a comment.
Is amen to all what was said.
Amen. Hallelujah. Patricia Joy, anything on your heart?
Yes, I would like to make a comment about reaching souls. Most people are afraid to do so because of rejection. Rejection has been in their life. They haven't overcome it. And to go out and to minister Jesus Christ is a difficult thing for them. But if you and I would just pray, Lord, if you want me to touch a soul today, wherever you may be, you could be grocery shopping, you could be at a traffic light and see somebody in need. I mean, it could be any situation. You could be in a store purchasing something, and the Lord says, that's the one. You'll know by the Holy Spirit conviction. Just go up to them and say, do you know Jesus loves you? If you don't know what else to say, and that always opens the door to conversation. Most will say, I know. And then you could go on and say, well, then you must be a Christian. Is that correct? And if they say no, you could go from there. But it is difficult for most people. So pray for an unction. Pray for the Holy Spirit move in your life to be able to open your mouth to speak what is necessary for that individual. You know, I was told by someone, and it works so beautifully, that if you want to really win a soul, ask the Lord to tell you something about that individual that happened to them that you have no way of knowing, only by the Holy Spirit. And then you go to them and mention that to them. They will be so open. It will be so easy. It will boggle your mind. So praise ye God. We could pray for these things. We can ask for the anointing to come and flow in that direction for our lives. Any way he chooses to do, just say, Lord, I'm afraid. I bind the spirit of fear, but I do want to be used by you for the Great Commission.
Well, amen to that. And again, Patricia, I know in about 7 minutes, you're going to launch out here into your deliverance ministry on the Omega Radio Network. Right now, I want to ask everybody to pray with me. I want to pray with you. I just feel like the Lord has unctioned this prayer in my heart for everybody tuned into the broadcast right now. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, right now, I am asking that you would set up divine appointments for the people that are tuned into this broadcast today, that wherever they go and as they go, whether it be today, tomorrow, next week, the month ahead, I ask you, Lord God, that you would send them forth with divine power, that there would be faith right now to apprehend the promise that you have said, go, and that as they go, you will confirm your words with signs and wonders following. I ask that your people would be very attentive to the leading of your Holy Spirit, that they would be aware when you're telling them to do something, and that they will submit and yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is asking them and requiring their attention. So in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, right now I just thank you for accelerating your unction right now in order that the body of Christ may function. I ask, Holy Spirit, right now there'll be a stirring in the belly of every person that is listening. I pray that there will be a life-giving spirit anointing that will rise up and an empowerment and an enablement for your people to move out in every direction, that they may find jewels for their crowns, that they may find the true riches of heaven and bring joy to heaven. For when one sinner repents, all the angels of God rejoice. Lord, we're not looking necessarily for the masses, but for the one that will come across us today, the one that we could pray for, the one that we could lead to faith in Jesus Christ, the one that we could bring healing to their bodies, the one that we could bring hope to, the one, Father God, the one, each one, reach one. And this is our prayer today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And if we have nowhere to go, that there will be time spent in the Word of God, getting built up in the knowledge of the Word, understanding what the Bible is teaching about these last days, tuning in to radio broadcasts, listening to the messengers of God with the anointing of God, and having the ability to chew the meat and spit out the bones, to hear the truth and to be led by that truth. Father, I ask for a blessing right now upon every single person tuning into this broadcast, whether they're listening on their iPad, their iPhone, whether they're listening on the computers in Africa, 5,780 people last week tuning into these radio broadcasts. Lord, we want to bless our brothers and sisters around the world who have dealt with voodoo witchcraft, who have dealt with the Islamic sword, who have dealt with persecution. Our brothers and sisters of every color, of every culture, of every tribe, of every tongue, we bless our brothers and sisters and pray that the same persecution that drove the church in the book of Acts to spread around the world, that persecution will also be used to this moment of time, that you'll use it for your glory. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may the Lord bless you today. May the Lord keep you today. May the Lord's face shine upon you today. May you give a holy shout to the King of Israel and tell the nations of the earth and everyone in the spirit realm, I am born again. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and nobody's going to cause it to be blotted out. I'm going to endure to the end. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to rise up in faith and believe every promise that God has made to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to go. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Here is my favorite friend, Keith Green, singing You Are the One. Patricia Joy Xavier with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is up next.
One for me, Lord Jesus, and I hope the one for you too. Welcome all those that are listening to this program all over the world. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier of New Wine Ministry. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. You heard this morning things mentioned regarding the new harvest moment that God is giving amongst the darkness to those who love God. Well, I just received a vision written by James Durham, and this was shown to me this morning. And it said this morning I received a word from the Lord in a series of visions. These visions came to me several times, which confirms to me that I should release this message. I saw storms raging around the world in many nations. There was a deep darkness over the world, deception, which made it difficult for people to see the Lord's truth. That's written in Isaiah 60, verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. This is exactly what Pastor Vincent was speaking of this morning on Omega Radio, that there will be a glory that will be seen upon us, a reprieve, a time that he is granting to us right now in the midst of the darkness. And this prophecy goes on to say suddenly, and the reason I brought this up is because the word being confirmed is so important to us. And the word of God tells us that every word we speak should be confirmed by two or three witnesses for truth to be established. And the word that was given today is now being, by Pastor Vincent, now being confirmed. Suddenly, the dark clouds were torn open from top to bottom in this vision, something like the veil in the temple when Yeshua died on the cross. In the distance, I saw blue skies and sun, S-O-N, light, shining through. In the midst of the troubles and tribulations which have come upon the rebellious people and nations of this world, the Lord is breaking through once more on behalf of his people. A reprieve, so to speak. Today, a powerful anointing is being released for people to understand the times and what the Lord is doing. And I call it mysteries are being revealed as promised by our Lord in the last days. It goes on to say, this is available to you. If you are willing to receive it and be fully obedient to the Lord, obedience is required, obedience of his word. It goes on to say, on Yom Kippur, last year, the Lord told me that we would go through four spiritual seasons this year. First was a season of judgment, lasting through the first quarter of the year. This season was to be replaced by a season of great grace, like you see in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. The length and severity of these seasons will be determined by the response of the people. I was reminded of James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Our behavior can mark one season longer and another shorter. Because of rebellion, the season of judgment has lasted longer and is still being released. Many proud and arrogant people who want to exercise unauthorized power over others continue to be removed. Hallelujah. using unauthorized power is like the unauthorized fire released by Aaron's two sons in Leviticus 10:1-2. I need more water. I think I'll take a sip right now. Thank you. Thank you for that moment. Those who continue to rebel against the Lord will be exposed and brought down in this season. Listen to that carefully. Those who continue to rebel against the Lord will be exposed and brought down in this season. That's exactly what Pastor Vincent spoke. The humble will be lifted up, healed, restored, and released with new authentic authority and power to bring blessings and favor during the season of great grace. This season can be also extended if we will obey the Lord and bless others. Are you ready for that, people of God? Are you ready to be humbled in your heart and be a human being that desires to obey? The praises on your lips will be great and mighty. You know, this is the very reason that I have desired so much to see us set free from the bondage of the evil one. The reason being to give us opportunity to be humbled in our spirits. Because when that happens, we become lifted up and blessed by God. He gives power to the humble. And he will raise them up and bring favor to them. And this is the time to be humiliated in the areas in which we were so proud and arrogant as a Christian people. We must learn within the church of God that humility is the great asset that God has given us by the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be the power invested in his name, our, instead of considering ourselves to be so mighty and so great within the church, and then on the outside of the church, being not willing to minister to others for salvation. I have seen it with my own eyes. And there were times where I was in that very bondage myself and knew that this was not correct. This was not right. The body of Christ, the true body of Christ, needs to humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. And there are so many who are full of fear and bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness within the church. These things, if allowed to remain in our heart, with time will lead to evil, ungodly actions sooner or later. And there are many whose hearts have suffered rejection most of their lives and need healing within the body of Christ. It is important to walk in peace in these times that we are in. It reminds me of 1 Peter 1:18-19 that says, since you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus can penetrate our bodies, our conscience, our subconscious, and even our unconscious, if you believe it, and bring humility to our souls. His blood is very powerful. Jesus Christ has made this weapon available to us, and yet the majority of believers do not make proper use of this in their daily lives. In Hebrews 12:24, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Say this prayer out loud with me today and share it with those who need it today. Renounce all offense, bitterness, resentment, memories of pain and frustration. And together we declare ourselves free from lack of forgiveness. We cast out the spirit of rejection. We renounce self-rejection, fear of rejection, and the root of rejection today. We uproot it by the power of the blood of Jesus. Spirit of rejection, we will root you out. Fear of rejection, we uproot you right now. Lack of forgiveness, resentment, and hatred, you leave right now. Spirit of pride, we root you out. Leviathan, we uproot you now. Spirit of self-sufficiency, independence, manipulation, and ego, and pride, and self-importance, we destroy your plans right now in Jesus' name. We believe and declare this done in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to be raised up with a humble and contrite spirit. We thank you that in Revelation 12:11 you say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Who did they overcome? The work of Satan in their lives. If you think that the power of casting out Satan and his demons was given only to Jesus because he is the Son of God, then I want you to read Mark 16, 17, and 18 again, which says that believers shall cast out devils and shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. God has revealed this truth to me. Keep this tucked away in your heart. You will understand why I am diligently working to bring this truth to the body. This is what God has revealed to me. The more that Christians enter into warfare, the more Satan will suffer loss. I have a sensing in my spirit that if we all, with one voice, by all, I mean all true believers, said, Satan be bound, he would never and could never vex a believer again. Then the angels of God would come forth with a shout and execute judgment for 1,000 years upon that old serpent, Satan, binding him according to the word of God. And what do you imagine would happen if Christians in the unity of the Spirit of God said with one voice, Satan, you are bound? This move of the Spirit must become a reality to you and I, and it must be put into practice with one mind and one accord. It is the very proof of the power of Almighty God working on in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It was for fundamental forgiveness and fundamental deliverance. This is why I desire to see the Lord deliver each and every one of us and those that need deliverance, pulling down strongholds and the curses that have come against our lives and the lives of multitudes of Christians and those all over the world. Deliverance is an important aspect. It is so important that I believe it's so absolutely necessary. I am ministering these blessings to you. And I am asking you to make it a serious work in your life. I am asking also that you would understand that deliverance is the necessary work in what we're doing today. More and more, I am seeing it on television and Christian broadcasting as I never saw it before. It is glorious. It is glorious. And what is that glory? It is the blind seeing, the lame walking, the sick being healed, the dead in Christ being raised, and it is us setting the captives free. Not partially free, but totally free. And John 8:36 says it this way, whom Christ sets free is free indeed. Satan must be rendered helpless when we command him to be bound in the name of Jesus. There is nothing more beautiful, more glorious than seeing Christians set free, made whole, set apart, standing in the holy place in the spirit realm, casting out demons and healing the sick. Oh, body of Christ, the time is now. Listen to me, please. The glory of God is ready to be unleashed among those who believe, those who understand the work of Christ in this time, those who have been brought into this understanding are so blessed far beyond others who have not. There is 30, 60, and 100-fold in the body of Christ. Do you want to be among the 30-fold, the 60-fold, or the 100-fold? Let it be known to you today that you have been given the freedom to make the choice for yourself. The 100-fold walks upon the high place. The 100-fold is seated with Christ in heavenly places. The 100-fold is in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is within them, doing great exploits in this hour. Whom do you want to be? What part do you want to be of the glory? 30, 60, or 100-fold? It is up to you in this hour to make your mind up. The time is short, and the time is at hand. The thief Satan comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When we are hurting, depressed, and oppressed, who then is at work in our members? Who is it that is coming against us? Who is it that is vexing our soul? Who is it that is accusing us? I'll tell you who it is. It is Satan. It is Satan at work through his cohorts. Satan will steal your joy through lies. He will accuse you of being a failure and tell you that you cannot be victorious. Christians, body of Christ, people who are listening all over the world, do not buy the deception. If you do, you will have false imaginations, confusions, or confusion will be the order of your day. And the fear that is in your heart will be your taskmaster. And that fear will bring torment. In short, he will render you hopeless. Deception will make you believe that all of your thoughts are based upon facts as seen through your natural eye and mind. That's deception. And that deception runs rampant in the world today. And then there will be accusing thoughts that are not facts, but it is Satan trying to convince you that your salvation has no power, or that you are in a place that is the right place when you're in a wrong place in the world, because he has won you to himself. And one of Satan's most common lies relates to sickness and disease. And he will hold you back. He will keep you back with no energy to do his bidding and to do his will. You will not feel like it. But I tell you this, if you understand who is keeping you in this bondage and relate to the scriptures, the promises of God, who says, I have healed the sick when I walked the face of the earth. I have healed, I have healed, I have healed the multitudes. And I grant unto you the same Holy Spirit that has caused them to be healed through belief in my Heavenly Father, you have within you now to do the same exploits and to be healed in your own body. Sickness and disease must flee in the name of my name, Jesus Christ, saith the Lord. Because it is the work of the enemy, Satan and his cohorts, and cannot stand before me by that authority in which I have granted you in my name, Yeshua HaMashiach. That name is the greatest name in the universe, in the cosmos, on earth, in heaven, under the earth, under heaven. Hear my plea. It is the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the great healer, the only true healer, the one who has come to set us free with salvation, eternal life in the Spirit, the eternal Spirit of truth, the eternal Spirit of life and power and might and goodness and righteousness and holiness. In patience, in power, in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of self-control, goodness, gentleness, humility, hope, patience, faith. How wonderful is the power of God for us today. Are we going to continue to be deceived? How does he deceive us? How does he deceive people? First, he tries to deceive you with the same type of symptom. He has many natural helpers, various medical professionals who are speaking the same dogma over and over and over again. I will heal you through the medications in which I give you, say the doctors, say the physician. But we have a great physician, and that great physician, Dr. Jesus Christ, will heal you without the need of medication. That would sooner or later, with the use of natural means, bring you into bondage in that medication. Because medication is not the answer. Oh, it's a relief for a moment, but it's not the answer. Being healed, perfectly healed, as it was said by Pastor Vincent Xavier earlier today, being healed. Quickly, in a moment, in a flicker of the eye, is the true healing of Yeshua HaMashiach. Without the medication, the pharmaceutical medication that continues to keep you on it, which one would you rather have? Which one is true deliverance? But your medical professionals, your natural helpers, though it may relieve you for a moment, will continue to medicate you. And there's enough medication in the world today. Drivers on medication, whether you're old or young, whether it's a street medication or a hospital medication, it's medication. But if Satan convinces you through whatever means that you have the symptoms of something you have been fearing, then that which you have feared may come upon you, and he will use that. The medical field will use that. Soon as you walk into the doctor's office, they want to know your history. What is the history, and what is the various problems that perhaps your father or your mother had? Heart problems, cancer, diabetes, name it. And then when it's once known, generational bloodline curses, the first thing that will be seen on those x-rays is something of the same nature. Why? Because that which we fear comes upon us. It is our thoughts. It is our fears that bring about that generational bloodline curse. And it's also in the DNA. So therefore, we must overcome fear, no matter what form it comes in. And how do we overcome fear? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Don't open the door to infirmity. And Satan is most willing to enter in through our fears and doubts. Before long, your symptoms may become a reality. Do you want that? You want to be set free in spirit, by the spirit of truth, in mind, by the mind of Christ. You want to be set free in your soul from fear, the bondage of deception, the bondage of anger, the bondage of anxiety, the bondage of stress. You want to be set free of the bondage of sin and that which is not believing in the true and living God is sin, because it's the only means that is available to you and I to truly set us. You want to be free of sickness and disease to do the will of God. To be set free from the bondage of our soul, to have our soul cleansed so we may do the will of God in this world from that great and mighty light. How much are you willing to do to be set free? Will you help us to reach every nation on this earth and help in the Great Commission? Every nation matters, and the time is short. Will you help to break strongholds and the power of the devil? The reviews from this book that I have been reading you from, to you from, has been exceptional. Will you help us by sending your gift of $20 to P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. Send it to Pastor Vincent Xavier, Xavier. We need your prayers. We need your support. Thank you, and God bless you in Jesus' name.